Am I doing it yet?
Call me the libertine and I'll say, well, okay. Is it so bad? I like to feel good. I'm always standing at the sneeze guard at the body part buffet. Is it so bad that I like to feel good? Just like Dr. Frankenfurter told Janet and Brad. Is it so bad? I like to feel good. Just give in to the pleasure and forget about mom and dad. Gross. Is it so bad? I like to feel good. Suck a dick, lick a tit, little circles round a clit. Give me all you got, I'm a libertine. Shove it in, take it out, what is all the fuss about? Give me all you got, I'm a libertine. Hey, libertine.
Hey there, welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, back with a brand new episode. Stories that just happened on stage recently, and they were so good, we wanted to bring them to you on the podcast so you could hear them wherever you are. These stories, oh, and the song that you just heard, that song you just heard was written for a recent show. The theme of the night was libertine. And if you don't know libertine, if you don't know that word, it's a very old-timey word. And a libertine is somebody who is sexually or morally unrestrained. That felt like you to me, so I figured I better get these stories onto the podcast as soon as humanly possible. That song that you heard was written by Jefferson Berkey. He writes songs for us, custom songs for body storytelling. And nothing will make you more flattered than when you have a bad idea, put a show together, and not only do people share their private stories, but people write custom songs to support the theme of the night. Jefferson, thank you for writing that song. I have to say, I think it's my current favorite by you, and you have a lot of songs that I love. Thank you for writing it. And in addition to that, this evening of stories that we're about to share from are from people who had never been on our stage before. We're bringing you a couple of those stories on the podcast this week. And these are from people who aspired to be libertines, but maybe they faltered and they failed and they picked themselves back up. And they believed it was possible and they did it. And is there anything more inspirational than somebody telling you how they failed and how they made it work anyway? I love stories like that. And I love stories like that from terrified newbies. So before we get into story, I spent the weekend in the country with a bunch of libertines this past weekend. I have been involved in the Kinky Salon community, which is a sex positive community that started in San Francisco. They throw parties, they throw community events. I believe they're currently in 17 cities, so you might want to check and see if there's a Kinky Salon near you. But I have been involved with Kinky Salon since the very beginning, before they were even a sex party, when they were actually a salon where you talked about sex. And then, way back in the day, they won Best Sex Club. What? And so they said, well, I guess we're a sex party now. And we did the switch from talking about sex to actually having sex on premises. One of these days, I'm going to tell you the story of how that happened, because I'm an instigator at heart. And when people didn't know how to make the shift to, hey, let's do it, I helped them do it. But this one's not about me, y'all. Last week, I told you a story. This one is going to be from Terrified Newbies. Remember how much I love that? These stories were told live in San Francisco on stage in front of a massive crowd of supportive people. And let's get to our first storyteller, shall we? Our first story from our recent Libertine show is from someone who has been working on a solo show about her sexual adventures for a while. A solo show is something a little different than what we do at Body. We're very comfortable and relaxed. You might have a drink in your hand when you step on stage. You put it down on my table because I'm right there on the stage right next to you. And I support you as you look out into the darkness and you share your deepest, darkest secrets. She was really nervous, and I think she did a great job. This story is from mom, photographer, dating coach, and yes, sexual adventure. This first story is from Julie Korshin.
Hi,
Wow. Oh my God, you guys. So the first time I heard about orgasmic meditation was like over 10 years ago. It was my crazy friend, Mandy, right? Like she gets picked up by a couple at a party and they take her home. And she calls me the next day to tell me all about it, how she took off her pants and laid down. And this guy, like, I'm not sure what the woman was up to, but the guy like sat next to her and threw his leg over her belly and stroked her clitoris. Yeah, I was like, for 15 minutes, it's timed. I was like a little bit intrigued, and then the rest of me was like, no fucking way, ever. And that friend of mine, she moved into like a commune where they did that all the time, like 5 times a day. We kind of lost touch after that. So I got married, we bought a house, we had a kid, like things happened. Like fast forward to a couple years ago, I hear about this orgasmic meditation thing again at a networking event. And the woman who's talking about it, Nora, she's a mom and she's kind of normal. And she offers a 2-for-1 discount on her intro to orgasmic meditation class. And I'm tempted. So we exchange phone numbers and we become Facebook friends. And for about 6 months, she sends me invitations to events and I think about whether this is something I would ever do. Eventually I get an invitation. It's for like an intro to intro event. Like nobody's gonna take their pants off and they're gonna give us free Thai food. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I go to this dinner and I walk in and it's this beautiful like San Francisco kind of tech office looking place, and this guy walks up to me and he's really tall. He's Eric the Viking with gray hair and a pot belly. But like he's hot and his eyes are sparkling and I'm into it. I didn't say this part, but my husband has started seeing other people and we've just opened our marriage and I'm flirting for the first time in a long time. And this guy looks at me and he says, I like your energy. Would you like to ohm? Orgasmic meditation, ohm. I'm like, I don't know how yet. Yet. He sits next to me at dinner, and people are going around the table, and there's like advanced ohmers there, and they're talking about the benefits, the practice, how like you get filled up, and that spills out into the rest of your life. It's like spiritual and stuff. And the guy next to me, he's taken off his shoes and he's feeling up my leg with his stocking foot. I am flooded with hormones. I am sure everyone can see it. I've got my hands on the table. After the dinner, I hand one of the coaches my credit card. $149 for the next Intro to Ohm course? Yes, absolutely. Mr. Viking walks me down the stairs, pulls me up against him in the doorway. He walks me to my car. We stand under the buzzing yellow street lamp on 11th and Market Street and kiss for hours. He invites me to go home with him and fuck. I'm sorry, who are you? I am not ready for that level of engagement. I'm gonna go home to my husband. So, 3 days later, 10 a.m., Saturday morning, the doors are locked. We're all on time. A crowd of us milling on Market Street, kitty corner from Twitter headquarters. Finally, they let us in. I sit in the front row. I love workshops. There's a stage in front of me, and there's these two high stools, and on one, there's this, like, skinny San Francisco version of, like, Nicolas Cage, and then on the other stool is this, I mean, she barely ever sits, powerhouse of a woman in a tight dress and impossibly high heels. And the tech guy gets up, and the skinny one, and he tells his story about how he had a successful career and social life that looked good but felt empty, and how Om changed his life. And the woman gets up, and she's got just, oh, she's gorgeous. She's like Angelica Houston, but like younger and bold as fuck. And she's like, she was fat. She was celibate, she was a spiritual seeker, she found Om, and it changed her life. I want to be her, and I don't know what it is yet, but I want to Om with him. So they teach us all about the practice, and all the science, and the parasympathetic, and the sympathetic, and the limbic system, and we're all connected. And then they bring out a massage table. And a blonde woman in another tight dress gets up onto the stage, pulls up her dress, climbs onto that massage table. She is not wearing anything underneath. I'm in the front row. She butterflies her legs, and I am face to vagina with her hairless, flayed pussy. Another tall, thin man comes up onto the stage and stands next to her. And he puts on gloves, lubes up his finger and thumb. He hunches over her. There is a passion. I'm reminded of like Elvis Presley movies, you know, that kind of that, and it's like he's playing his clitoris, her clitoris, his clitoris, maybe it is his. He's playing her clitoris like a guitar, and he's playing to an internal music, and she's doing this rhythmic moaning thing, ha, 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 and we've been instructed to call out sensations. Tingling in my neck. A warmth in my belly, pain in my hand. It's like he's got his finger on a tiny, tiny grand piano. And then we go to lunch. After lunch, we come back. There's a little more instruction, and then we pair up. This thing is going to happen. Excuse me. Some people leave, actually. It's optional, but I am staying. In fact, I'm surprised. I'm not shy. There's these nests laid out on the floor, these yoga mats with blankets and more of these cushions like the woman had used on her massage table, and in these perfectly neat rows. And in pairs, we step to our nests. I remove my pants and my underwear. I sit down. I butterfly my legs. On the way down, I notice the woman next to me has the most perfectly coiffed pubic hair. This guy I've never met, I think his name is David, does it matter? He sits next to me on a Zafu, throws his leg across my waist, puts on the glove, the lube. I'm going to touch your pussy now, is that okay? Yes. He turns back to the task at hand. Coaches mill around the room, calling out instructions. Maintain contact. They come over and check our work. They adjust him for better ergonomics. Now, I'll admit, I asked this guy to Om because he was good looking, and I can. I get to. But actually, I've got my eyes closed through this whole thing. I am just laying back and feeling the sensation at the upper left-hand quadrant of my clit. electricity is running through my body. And we're doing this thing, it's called offers and requests, where he says things like, would you like me to stroke a little lighter? Yes, thank you. And when I say things like a little to the left, he says, thank you. There's a moment where I and then this bell rings, and we have 2 minutes left, and we do this downstrokes for grounding. As you need to do. We come back into our bodies, the 15-minute bell rings, there's a towel stroke to clean things up, we sit up, we share frames. I tell him about a shower of sparks that I felt, and he tells me about a warmth that spread through his chest. So, for someone who thought she'd never, ever do that, I've probably 200 times. And I can be one of those people who will say that learning how to speak my desire and receive has changed my life. I wanted to be that woman. I need a tighter dress and maybe higher heels, but I'm here, so thank you.
That story was told live on stage in San Francisco, and if you are wondering at the miracle that is people performing in a room in San Francisco and you get to hear it no matter where you are, that is brought to you by the glory of Patreon. Patreon is an ongoing support system where you can be a patron of the arts, you can be a patron of the pervy arts, and you can help us bring sex-positive storytelling to people wherever they are. You love this podcast, you're listening, and the way that we can continue to produce this podcast and the way we can continue to grow is with your support. So go to patreon.com, spelled patreon.com/body. You know how to spell body. You found your way here. And support us. You can support us for as little as $1 a month, up to however much money you want to give us. We've got a few new patrons this past week. And when you support our Patreon, that tells me you like what we're doing and you want us to continue doing it. So go to our Patreon page, click support, and we promise to keep getting bigger and better all the time. And thanks in advance for supporting us on Patreon. This next story is also from our recent Libertine show. This was someone who was brand new. He'd been coming to the show for a while and finally decided to get on our stage. He'd been on stages in the past, but it had been quite a long time. And he was somebody who liked to share his own sexual stories, but he'd never done it on stage. So you know how I like collecting people's cherries, right? This was a cherry for him. He got on stage, he told his story, and this man got a standing ovation like something you wouldn't believe. He is a social scientist by trade. He is someone who loves performing, and he makes it look so effortless. This story is from Ryan Vermuth.
This is fine. Yeah. Ignore it. It's fine. Hey, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Ryan. And I am here tonight to talk to you about country line dancing. Don't worry. Country line dancing here is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for fucking. Maybe you've been in this situation. You're out on a dance floor. You're having a great time. You're good at dancing. You like dancing. And then all of a sudden, the music changes. And you find yourself in the middle of a country line dance. And when you're invited to dance, you want to say yes, right? So at first, you try to keep up. You try to fake it. But man, everybody knows the rules but you. And pretty soon, you're just kind of hanging on for dear life, trying not to look like too much of a dick. Anyway, this story is about the first time my girlfriend and I attempted group sex. I'm gonna back up a little bit. So right at the start of my relationship with my girlfriend, Amanda, she proposed a rule of thumb for decision making. She said, if something scares you, but it's not actually dangerous, you should probably do it. Say yes. And I am not immediately so sure about this, but she's really beautiful. She's got this whole Drew Barrymore in the 90s thing, and I'm smitten, and I feel like I can do anything with this woman, so I agree. Say yes. This kind of set the tone for our early relationship. So I said yes when she surprised me with trapeze lessons for my birthday. And she said yes when I retaliated by signing her up for hang gliding lessons. And this taste of danger, this taste of exploration was really fun, and it was really sexy. And pretty soon we started thinking about ways we could apply this same kind of reasoning to our sex life. And there's so many things that we wanted to try, and so many things that we'd never done with each other before. And where to start, right? So, okay, let's start with the basics. Let's have a threesome. The snag we hit almost immediately is that we are both fairly mostly straight. And we're both pretty game, but inevitably, any like big first threesome that we're gonna do, somebody's gonna be enjoying it a lot more than the other person. And so the conversation kind of stalled at that point. And it stayed stalled until the night of the birthday of a friend of ours. Now, she and her husband are Icelandic, so for the sake of this story, I'm going to call them Eyja and Thor. Eyja, after the volcano, the Icelandic volcano that grounded flights in 2010, Eyjafjallajökull. And Thor. Honestly, I couldn't bring myself to change that one. That's his real name. His parents literally named him after the thunder god. Which is amazing, and it's like extra funny in his case because he is the sweetest, shyest, quietest guy, kind of like scruffy, longish hair, laid back, likes to get high. And his wife, Eyja, on the other hand, she is this outspoken, tall, long blonde hair, brick house of a woman. And what she wants to do for her birthday is to get a group together, take MDMA, and go to a burlesque show. Now, Amanda and I have never taken MDMA before, but say yes, right? So we take the drugs, we go to the show, the drugs start kicking in, and just about the time we're really starting to have a good time, Thor asks me to join him outside while he has a cigarette. And he launches into this kind of prepared speech. He says, I love my wife, and I want my wife to have exactly what she wants for her birthday. And we trust the two of you. So what I'm saying is, will you both come home with us and dominate my wife? Now, this is an unexpected ask. And I'm high as shit. So I will say my listening comprehension skills were like not at their peak right there. And in that moment, I made two critical misunderstandings of the situation. One, although he had suggested no such thing, because they're a couple, I assumed that we were going to their place for a foursome rather than a threesome. And more than that, in my blissed out state, I suddenly realized that a foursome is the best idea I've ever heard of in my life. Because it solves that threesome problem, right? So there's something for everybody. And I am suddenly so about this idea. The second problem is that word dominate. Now, I assume that that means be a little assertive, be a little rough. I am not treating this word with the seriousness that it deserves. And that will become important later. But anyway, I take my head full of misunderstandings and I go talk to Amanda and I'm like, hey, guess what? Thor and Aya want us to go back to their place and have sex with them. What do you think? And Amanda looks over at the two of them and she's got a thing for scruffy guys, right? In the great Aragorn Legolas hotness debate of the 2000s, she had no time for Legolas. And she looks over at Thor and she turns back to me. She says, oh my God. Yes. Now, the first sign of trouble came up in the cab on the way to their place. I suddenly realized that my hands and feet are really cold, and I think, that's funny. And then I think, oh, fuck. Because one thing that I know about me is that stimulants of any kind, from like coffee on up, really screw with my circulation. And with the drugs that I've taken, if my hands and feet are this cold, nothing is happening down here tonight. The sort of bigger issue starts when we actually get to their place. And I realize pretty quickly the depth of my misunderstanding of the situation. Thor takes Aya to the middle of the living room, immediately strips her naked, wraps her up in this Japanese rope bondage harness, and says, okay, do whatever you want. Yellow is slow down, red is stop, have fun. And I'm a little taken aback, and I turn to Aya, and I say, okay, so, like, do you want us to... He says, no, don't ask her anything. Do whatever you want. She will tell you if she wants to stop. And then he goes off to his bedroom to smoke weed by himself. And the door closes behind him, and he is not coming back, because he is fully trusting in this moment that he has left his wife in the capable hands of two people who know exactly what to do in this situation. This trust is misplaced. There's a lot that I want to game out right here, and I want to talk to Amanda about it. Like, is it weird if we take our clothes off? Is it weird if we don't take our clothes off? But we're kind of supposed to be in character at this point, and I don't really feel like we can talk. We have no practice negotiating consent in this kind of setting. I mean, listen, we know how to have sex, not to brag. We even know how to have rough sex. But the thing is that we're adventurous, but we're still actually pretty vanilla. And this is something outside of sex for us. This is ritual. This is line dancing. Meanwhile, Aya is standing there like some naked statue of a Viking queen. And she's incredibly sexy. And so, you know what? Okay. I'm saying yes to this, I'm gonna try something. I go around behind her, I grab a fistful of hair, I pull it back, I reach around, I grab a breast, and she gasps in what I briefly mistake for pleasure. And then I remember that my hands are fucking freezing. Oh my, jeez, I'm sorry. If you're looking for that good, dominant, dirty talk, oh geez, I'm sorry, doesn't really make the list. So let me just sum up the situation that we're in here. Amanda and I are standing in front of a beautiful naked woman, and we don't know what the rules are, and we don't know how to ask. I don't have a boner because of the drugs, and Amanda doesn't have a boner because she's straight. And now, I don't feel like I can use my hands either until they warm up, and they're not gonna warm up, so we just kind of start circling this poor woman like two menacing sex ghosts going, ooh, ooh. And just when this whole thing is about to collapse under its own weight, we are saved by a prop. Amanda sees a flogger. She's good with floggers. Why? Because we took a class. And this little petite Drew Barrymore of a woman has never looked more powerful than she does in this moment with her good, good friend, this Norse goddess naked, bent over in front of her, and she is just wailing on her ass with this flogger. She's making these beautiful figure eights, and there is just visible relief on all three of our faces for like a little bit. Because look, you can only flog someone's ass for so long before it turns into something else or it turns into nothing, and we're kind of out of things to go to at this point, so the whole thing kind of peters out about then, and Thor comes back in from the bedroom, and he and I and Amanda all sit fully clothed on the couch, and Aya, still fully naked, sits on a dog bed on the floor. And we're kind of making small talk, but in my head all I can think is, they don't have a dog. And after a little while, it just seems polite to leave, so we do, and we walk out into the dawn, and for the first time in hours, Amanda and I feel like we can talk. And I say, that was awkward as fuck. And she says, yeah. And then she says, also. And I say, yeah. And she says, that was kind of awesome. And it was. Because as badly as we botched almost every step in that whole interaction, we had said yes to that moment. And I look at this woman, and I see that this is somebody that I can explore anything with. That is gonna say yes to things because she understands that fucking up really badly is still better than not trying. So about a year after all this happened, I asked Amanda to marry me. And she said yes to that too. And that's another thing that we haven't tried before. And a couple of things have stuck with us from that night. One is this: if you're just gonna wander into somebody else's sex life, you don't know what you're gonna find in there. So that means talk first, like for real talk first. And also, a little preparation never hurts. There are amazing classes in this city. There are killer parties. There are so many experiences to have. And we're exploring those together, which, first of all, is fun, but also means that we're going to be that much more prepared the next time we find ourselves in a situation that we didn't totally plan on being in. Because you just never know, right? You never know when you're going to be out on that dance floor, and the music changes, and the universe invites you into a country line dance. When that happens, say yes. Thanks.
That story was so good, wasn't it? I love watching people step on stage, tell the real deal, and watch the audience just light up getting to see something they can't believe they get to hear told right in front of their eyes. You're getting to hear it on the podcast too. Being at a live show is completely different than listening to the podcast. You get to watch the person light up as they share the details. You get to look at the person, and the person looks just like you. And if they can do it, you know you can do it. It's inspirational. People who come to our show, who walk in saying, there's no way in hell I'm ever getting on that stage, come up to me at the end of the show and go, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I really, really want to get up in front of this audience. Speaking of that, I recently started my Standing O Storytelling Workshop. It started just this week. I have a room full of enthusiastic people who want to learn how to tell a story on stage. I'm so grateful. If you're one of my students, I'm so grateful to you for letting me work with you on the art of storytelling. Storytelling is my greatest passion. Watching people share the thing we all have in common. Sex is something we all have in common. Whether you don't have it or whether you have it all the time, it's something that all of us do or think about. It is a uniting force. And when I started body storytelling, it made complete sense to me that sex and storytelling went together. I am now working in classrooms to help people tell their story. And I'm going to do another one of these starting really soon. This one sold out, but I'll be back doing it again soon, probably online really soon too. So if you're interested in learning the art of storytelling, I'm Dixie at bodystorytelling.com. I'd love to work with you and get you to have as much fun sharing your story. Send me an email. Let me know you're interested. Let's make that happen, shall we? And speaking of getting up on stage, let me tell you about upcoming shows. We have a show on April 12th in San Francisco, and the theme of the night is going to be paramour. A paramour is your true love, and that could be anything. It could be a person. It could be an activity. I don't know. I let people tell me what a theme says to them. And we have some incredible storytellers who are going to be performing on that stage. We have got solo show legend Marga Gomez. Marga Gomez travels the country performing her solo shows, but this is her first time performing at Body Storytelling. We also have Brontis Purnell, Sarah Faith Alterman. Sarah Faith Alterman is part of the team that produces Mortified. And this is Sarah Faith's first time telling a story on stage at Body. And I can tell you, this story is great. We've also got comedian Ash Fisher from Man Haters and more. And then on April 26th in Seattle, we are back on stage in Seattle. The theme of the night is Infomaniac. Sounds like nymphomaniac, doesn't it? An infomaniac story is one that imparts a lot of knowledge. You may tell us your personal story, but you're going to teach us things as you tell it. If that sounds like a story that you might have, something that teaches us all something and makes it fun, then please send me your story. I'm at dixie@bodystorytelling.com. You can send me your story pitch. My ideal way to receive a story pitch is for you to just record a voice memo on your phone, attach it to an email, send it to me. I don't want to read your words as much as I want to hear your voice and hear your story. So there's still a couple of spots left for that show. I'd love for you to fill one of those spots. Then we're going to be back in San Francisco on May 17th. And the theme for that show is nerd sex. Our nerd sex shows are crazy. We bring out games. We bring out stories. We have got stories that have never been told on stage before because they're being created right now. People are going out throwing Harry Potter sex parties. They're financially dominating people. They're making stories right now so that they can get on stage and tell them to you. So May 17th, the theme is nerd sex. If you've got a story that might fit for that, pitch it to me, and maybe you'll be on the stage on May 17th. If you'd like tickets for these shows, you can find them on our website, bodystorytelling.com. I'm a Southern girl. I like to say thank you to people who help me, so thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to podcast producer Matthew Martyr, who helps take this melange of crazy words in Southern accent. Southern people don't pronounce things well, and they talk a lot. So he's going to take a lot of talking and cut it down to a podcast. Thank you, Matt. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff, who records our live shows, to the person who records our live streaming and on-demand, Ruben Tan. You can find that at bodystreaming.com, where it's almost like you're in the room. You can be right there with us and chat along to the stories and tell us what you think about them. Watch the whole show from start to finish. To Joe Moore, who runs our video of our live shows. And again, to Jefferson Berge, who wrote this song for this episode entitled Libertine. He wrote it just for us. I love it when people write custom songs for me. Jefferson Berge has an album of his songs written for Body Storytelling. You can find them on his website, jeffersonberge.com, spelled B-E-R-G-E-Y. Why do Southern people like to spell things? I can tell you something I like to do is when people give me a copy of their CD of filthy, filthy songs, I like to put it on in my car and drive around with the windows open. So suddenly, people on the street who are standing there waiting for the light to change get to hear about fisting and buttholes and cuckolds and, you know, all of the things that we talk about on our show. You got to get this information out there somehow, right? It's one way to do it. Playing a dirty, dirty CD. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. It means so much that you listen wherever you are, that you like these stories. Once again, review us on iTunes if you could. It means so much and it helps make this podcast bigger and better. Your reviews drive us up in, I don't know, the mathematical things that drive things up. And that means that more people get to learn about this. Sex positive storytelling is a way for us to share the stuff that, you know how in movies where they kind of fade out and people start laying backwards and then all of a sudden they cut to the next scene and they're smoking a cigarette. Wouldn't you like to know what those people did before that cigarette? Wouldn't you like to see that part of the story? Wouldn't you like to hear about that part of the story? Well, this podcast helps you find out what happened. So I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and we'll be back next week with another episode of the Body Storytelling Podcast. See you soon.
Oi, 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 oi. Hedonism, hedonism, yeah, you should. Is it so bad? I like to feel good. If no one's having sex with you, then I probably would. Is it so bad? I like to feel good. So suck a dick, lick a tit, little giggles on a clear. Give me all you got, I'm a libertine. Shove it and pull it out, what is all the fuss about? Give me all you got, I'm a libertine, libertine. You can call me depraved, you can call me odd. You can do whatever will help you blow the biggest wad. You will know me by the sound of oh my god. But you can call me the Liberty. Eyes wide shut, more like mouth open wide. Everyone's invited to come inside. No one's ever disappointed that they went. Cause I treat my body like a circus tent. But I'm much nicer to the animals. I never fuck with the animals. 1, 2, 3, 4. Suck a dick, little circles on the clit. Give me all you got, I'm a libertine. Shove it in, throw it out, what is all the fuss about? Give me all you got, I'm a libertine, libertine. You can call me depraved, call me odd. You can do whatever it takes to make you blow your wad. You can call me the Marquis de Bon. It's a little on the nose, but you can call me the Libertine. You can call me the Libertine. You can call me the Libertine.
Listen, we know how to have sex, not to brag.